probably not the first time I've ever heard the gospel. The credit for this sermon and a lot of material comes from This Little Church Went to Market, a book I've been reading. It's a book about the seeker-sensitive church. I'd like to start by doing a brief gospel presentation, and I'd like to encourage you, first five minutes, pay close attention, listen with your ears and your brain, don't just nod your heads. Okay, so give me good attention first 5 minutes. So the gospel. The gospel starts with a problem. The good news doesn't mean much if we don't recognize we have a problem. So we have this problem, it's called sin. We have a need. The gospel starts with the need. We are the victims of sin. Adam and Eve were deceived by the devil, and sin has passed down, ever since, sin has passed down from Adam. I am guilty, but just by association. I'm guilty of sin because of the sin nature that has been passed down. I am sin's victim, not the perpetrator. The nature that was passed down to me is what condemns me, not my personal sin. But I have great self-worth. We have great self-worth. It was worth it for Jesus to die for my sin. Jesus looked down and saw the worth that was in me and decided that I was worth dying for. To give you an example, Larry the drunk comes into church and says, "I'm a dirty sinner, there's nothing good in me." And he gets told, "Larry, you're not a dirty sinner. You're an amazing man made in the image of God. You have been trapped by the big bad devil. You deserve to be set free." Larry likes that. That makes Larry feel good. Larry wants some more of that. Larry likes this church, and that's what the church wants, right? Not only that, Larry, but look at what Jesus has to offer you. Jesus died to save me from the sin that trapped me. Jesus died so that I could have abundant life. Jesus died so that I could live my best life now. Jesus died to meet my needs. Jesus died so that I could find personal fulfillment and happiness. Jesus died so that I could receive His grace. Jesus died so that I could live with Him forever. This is the gospel. That is the gospel of me. Imagine if I would have preached that version of the gospel to Paul at Ephesus. Paul's at Ephesus and I preached that version of the gospel. What do you think he would say to me if I preached that gospel? I'll read over a couple of the key points. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died to save me from the sin that trapped me. It was not my fault. Jesus died so that I could live my best life now. Jesus died so that I could be fulfilled. Jesus died so that I could be happy. Who is it about? What do you think Paul would say? Would Paul say, "That's heresy"? Would Paul say, "That's not my gospel"? Would Paul say, "That's narcissism"? Narcissism is self-love. I believe that Paul might say all of those things. The book I was reading was written by Gary Gilly, and he says, "The new gospel is a liberation from low self-esteem, a freedom from emptiness and loneliness, a means of fulfillment and excitement, a way to receive our heart's desires, a means of meeting our needs. The old gospel was about God. The new gospel is about us. The old gospel is about sin. The new gospel is about needs. The old gospel is about our need for righteousness. The new gospel is about our need for fulfillment. The old gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. The new gospel is attractive. Many are flocking to this new gospel, but it is altogether questionable how many are actually being saved." So sometimes it's good for me to see things written out. Here's the old gospel contrasted with the new gospel. The old gospel was about God. The new gospel, somehow, is about me. The old gospel was about sin. The new gospel is about my needs. Which we do have needs. I don't want to deny that, but that's not what the gospel is about. The old gospel is about righteousness. The new gospel is about fulfillment.
The old gospel is foolishness to the sinner. The new gospel is attractive to the sinner. And the old gospel is about obedience. The new gospel is about tolerance. The old gospel is about cross-bearing. The new gospel is about our best life now. When you write it out,
there's a pretty big contrast between both of those. One of those sounds good to the sinner, the other does not. One flies in the face of self, the other pats self on the back. The old gospel is the true gospel. Many megachurches and other churches have a seeker-sensitive program where, man, they're just not going to come in if it's just so harsh. And, telling someone that they have to bear their cross, that's not going to make them stick around. Nobody wants to do that. The sinner's not going to want to stick around for that. So we need to change the packaging a little bit. But I'm afraid in changing the packaging, some churches have changed the gospel. I don't know that all preachers and churches that are seeker-sensitive are evil men. I believe some are good men that just want to bring people in at all costs, but the cost has been pretty high. Many have a sincere desire for men to be saved and to grow. But unfortunately, if the message is distorted so much, we'll bring them in and lead them where? That's the question. Where will they be led? So one important question when we are considering what the gospel of me is why did Jesus die on the cross? If Jesus died on the cross primarily for me, then the doctrine of me is correct. If it was solely for me, then it is all about me. And there's lots of roads you can go down off of that. Then my happiness is really important. And my fulfillment is why Jesus died, so that I could be fulfilled, so that I could be happy. That's what is important. If you broaden the question a little bit, not just why did Jesus die on the cross, but what is the entire Bible about? That's where I'd like to start. We'll get to why did Jesus die on the cross, but what is the entire Bible about? Is the entire Bible the history of God preparing everything up till me? Is the Bible a big story about all God did so that I could be saved? Is the Bible a big story that leads to me? Is it a little tool that I can use to help me live a better life? Is that what the Bible is? It's been said that the Bible is the story of God's glory, and I think that is right. The Bible is not about us. If you remember one thing from the sermon, right there, this life is not about you. That's the main point. The Bible is about God and His loving relationship with man. He is the main character. The story is about Him, not us. The generations pass through the Bible, but God stays the same. The Bible is what the story is about, and our lives are still about God. Our lives are not about us. To look at God's glory in the Bible, I'd like to go to Isaiah 43 to start, and we will be hopping around. Going to go through 7 or 8 scriptures here, and I could come up with some great arguments about why Jesus died for us, but let's look what the Bible has to say, because my arguments would be a man-made argument. You can't argue with the Bible. Isaiah 43, verses 20 and 21. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall shew forth my praise. So God has created the children of Israel, and why did he make them a nation? Did he make them a nation because they deserved it? Because they were some special people? He made them a people so that they might shew forth his praise. The Bible is a story of God's glory. You can flip a couple pages to Isaiah 48. A couple chapters later, God's people that he created are being fairly stubborn. and serving idols. And does that change God's tone a little bit? Isaiah 48, verses 9 to 11. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? So why didn't God destroy the children of Israel after their sin? For his sake. He says it three times, I think. For my own sake. For my praise, I will not give my glory. Who's this story about? Who is the story of the children of Israel about? It's not about Israel. It's about God's glory. That is why God continues to keep them and continues to not destroy them. For his glory, his name, and his praise. So the New Testament, does the story change in the New Testament? All right, so the Old Testament was all about God's glory. Now the New Testament is about our redemption, and all of a sudden it switches and it's about us. Is that what happens? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Now we'll come to this question. Jesus comes to redeem mankind for the glory of the Father. Yes, he died personally for mankind, personally for you and me. Yes, he loves us each individually and perfectly, but Jesus redeemed mankind for the purpose of the glory of God. Jesus did redeem us, but that was not the purpose of his dying, not just our redemption. The purpose of his dying for our redemption was the glory of the Father. So the story of God's glory continues. This is not a different book. This is the same history. The story doesn't change in the New Testament to suddenly it's all about us. You can turn to John 17. Again, we will be going through a number of different passages, so if you don't want to turn to this one, that's all right. John 17, verses 1 to 5. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that thou should give him eternal life, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glory thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So verse 1, Jesus says, glorify me so I can glorify you. That was Jesus' goal on earth. Jesus' goal on earth was not to glorify himself. God, if you're going to glorify me, I'm going to glorify you. Glorify me so that I can glorify you was his attitude. I brought you glory by doing the work you gave me to do. That's verse 2. That he should give him eternal life. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Thou should give us eternal life as many as... that's not right. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. How has Jesus glorified God on earth? By doing the work he has gave him to do. Jesus' life and death were about bringing glory to God. John 8:49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus answers and says, I seek not my own glory. I honor my Father. Jesus' life and ours should be not for our glory, but for the Father's glory. He did die for my sins, but the reason he died for my sins was so that I could glorify my Father in heaven, just like he did. Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, let your light shine so they may see your good works and glorify God. That is our purpose, as it was Jesus' purpose. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether ye therefore eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This theme runs the whole way through the Old Testament, the whole way through the New Testament, through Jesus' life, through the apostles. This life is not about us. This life is not about you. It's about the glory of God. We are one small thread in the tapestry that God is making. Sometimes we can think we're pretty important. We are one little thread. This life is not about us. Is God weaving a beautiful tapestry with all of our lives? Yes. But this life is about God's glory, not us. Ye are not your own. Ye have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ye are bought with a price. What was that price? What was the price that we were bought with? That is Jesus. Why did Jesus die on the cross? So that we could glorify God in our body and spirit. Why did Jesus die? Well, was it so that we could be fulfilled? So that we could have this? We could have these blessings? So that we could glorify God in our body and spirit? Again, it's not about you. This life is not about me. Aaron's life is not about Aaron. If you ever feel really big, you can look up at the stars and all of a sudden you feel really small. It's like, hey, wait a minute. This life really isn't about me. I'm not that big. I'm not that important. We are a small thread. So what does all this theological mumbo-jumbo mean? So what's the big deal between the old gospel and the new gospel? Jesus died primarily for God's glory. Jesus died for my good. What's the big difference? Isn't it a small issue? What does it matter what I believe? As long as I do my best to love God and rely on His grace, isn't that enough? God's grace will cover my areas where I have some wrong thinkings, maybe. And that is true. But do I need to have my theology right? Is it really that important? Is God in heaven going to be looking over report cards and seeing that I have a C in theology and He really wants me to have an A and He's going to frown? Does it really matter? There's a mentality in the construction world called do your best and caulk the rest. And there is some truth to that. You can do that. But that mentality leads to some shoddy work after a while. Eventually, do your best and caulk the rest. All of a sudden, those gaps keep on getting bigger and bigger because I can just caulk them, and I'm just doing kind of my best. That mentality can lead to some shoddy work. And do your best and caulk the rest spiritually can lead to some shoddy living. Will God's grace cover our sins? Yes. But should our mentality be, I'll do my best maybe, and God will caulk the rest? Is that our mentality? So it is important that we recognize that this life is not about you, because it affects how we live. It affects the orientation of our heart. Now you might be saying, intellectually I know that. I know that my life is not about me. My life is all about God. God is in control. He's big. I'm little. It's about Him. Okay, that's good. That's the right attitude and that's the right start. But it needs to actually transfer to more of that. If my money choices are all about me and my good and my welfare, and my time choices are all about me and me having a good time and me this, me that, if loving my wife and children is all about me and what I can receive, and things being my way, if what I expect at church is all about me and things going my way and ministry happening my way and people singing my way, and what I expect about relationships is all about me and people honoring me and people doing what I want, then my life is all about me. Okay, we might know intellectually that life is not all about me, but if I'm living my life in each one of those areas and it's all about me, I hate to break it, but it's all about me. This is one of the biggest problems with nominal Christianity. The gospel of me produces a life that's all about me. The heads might nod, the hands might clap, but the hearts stay unchanged. In the gospel of me, self never leaves the throne. It's all about me, 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 me. Guess who's on the throne of your heart? That would be self. And that's a problem. How can drugs and alcohol and sexual sin flourish among churches that profess to follow Jesus? How is that possible? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ has been watered down to be nothing more than a self-help program that fills the pews. That can be what happens. People are living in sin because Jesus is not Lord of their lives. Self is on the throne. If we live by the gospel of me, self reigns on the throne. It's often pointed out that the divorce rate in America is equal between Christians and non-Christians. And that has been a smear on Christianity for a while now. And that is true. But if you look at the statistic a little bit closer, nominal Christians who don't attend church are 20% more likely to divorce than the secular world. So if you're a nominal Christian who doesn't go to church, you're actually 20% more likely to divorce than a secular couple. Christians who are regular church attendees are 20% less likely. So 20% more, 20% less, we average at the world. Now 20% less likely in the world is still not a good reputation for Christianity. But why does that happen in nominal Christianity where self is on the throne? If Jesus Christ is not on the throne and self is on the throne, you will have the works of the flesh as a result of self being on the throne. If Jesus is on the throne of your life, you will have the works of the Spirit. Nominal Christianity is seeing the fruits of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. When you profess Christianity and your life doesn't change, the flesh likes that. Self loves that. The self does not care if you profess Christianity or not, as long as your life doesn't change. The flesh likes it because self is still on the throne, but you feel good about it. That is true for the evangelical, seeker-sensitive megachurch. That's true for middle-sized Baptist church, and that is true for the small Mennonite church. If self is on the throne, the flesh does not care. If your life doesn't change, you can profess all you want, but you will still have the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. The gospel of me feels good to the flesh. I'm fulfilled, I'm happy, I'm safe, and grace covers the rest. Do your best, caulk the rest. There is no heart for obedience. There is no heart for bearing the cross. That's not seeker-sensitive. People don't want that. That's condemning. Condemning sin? Jesus came in the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved, right? But this life is not about me. This life is about God. So I've shared this illustration a couple times now, but it still just keeps on coming back. Many years ago, people used to believe that the sun revolved around the earth. And that's because we're the center of the universe, the sun revolves around us, and that's how it works. The sun does not revolve around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. And things just wouldn't work. Gravity wouldn't work if the sun revolved around the earth. Lots of things would not go right. Life goes right when the earth revolves around the sun. That's just how it is. Life would go horribly wrong if the earth would not. If we are the center of the universe, life would go horribly wrong. Life goes right when God is the center of our lives, and life goes wrong when he is not. Now, I do want to say, if you were listening in the first 5 minutes, that the gospel of me has a lot of truth in it. Okay? You might have found yourself nodding with some of the things I was saying in the first 5 minutes. A lot of it sounds good, and the best lies do sound good. We will find fulfillment if we live a relationship with Jesus. But that our own fulfillment is not the end goal of our relationship with Jesus. And there are blessings to obedience, just like we heard in our Sunday school lesson. There are blessings to obedience and living within God's design. If we love our wives and children, and we serve others, and we live temperate lives, there is blessing to that. But those blessings are not our goal. There may be benefits, but we don't serve God for the benefits. If we are all about the benefits, we are all about me. So the gospel of me is mostly right, but the focus is wrong. There's a lot of truth in the gospel. Where it goes wrong is the focus. And that can be, you can take that as it's mostly right. Well, it's a big deal. But it is significant because when we take the focus off of God and we put it on self, when it's the old gospel's focus is on self, on God, and the new gospel's focus is on me, why is that significant? Because when we take God off the throne of our life, who goes on? Self goes on. And when self goes on the throne of our life, we get the fruits of the flesh, not the fruits of the Spirit. That is not what God designed. It feels like just a slight twist to the gospel, but it changes the gospel into something that it is not. Now, the main purpose of this sermon is not just to criticize and shred the evangelical church. Okay? I hope that's not. There are some great evangelical churches out there that do believe the Bible and that are sincerely going to heaven. I don't want to paint a picture like it's not. It is to warn us of where we can fall into this way of thinking. 2 Timothy 3, 1-2 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." Skipping down to verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." So the first section, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall love the gospel of me. And they shall have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I'm not a doomsday preacher. It's just not who I am. But I think we can recognize that we're living in the last days. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. There are millions and millions that are being deceived. There is a form of godliness in the gospel of me, but it is certainly loving yourself and living according to the spirit of the age. I'd like to close with a little bit of practical application. Again, theology doesn't really matter if it stays up here, but this is actually a very practical discussion. None of us would publicly say that the gospel of me is correct. No, my life is not about me. My life's about God. I think we can acknowledge that, but we can live with a similar mindset. Selfishness is deeply rooted in our hearts. Selfishness pours out everywhere you look. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here. I'm not going to answer them for you, but these are my questions to myself and to you. Why do I come to church? Is it about my needs? We are humans, and we do have needs. But is that what it's all about? Or do I come to church to glorify God? Or do I come to church to be encouraged and be encouraged? Next question. Does it matter if the hymns I sing aren't pleasing to me? Or does it matter if the hymns are pleasing to God? Is life about you or is life about God? Does it matter if I appreciate how we dress as an Anabaptist people? Or does it matter if God appreciates how we dress? Is life about you or is life about God? Is life about doing what you think is right or about what God says is right? So if you want to remember one thing, remember, this life is not about you, it is about God's glory. Let's pray. God, thank you for your plan and for life being bigger than us. Thank you for using each one of us as a small thread. Pray that we would be faithful to be content in our role that you have given us, and that we could serve you in truth and dig into your word. Pray that we would seek after you and that your Holy Spirit would reveal your truth to us. And where we err, I thank you for your grace and for your leading us. Pray that we would be leadable and that we would be open to your Spirit leading us. Praise your name. Amen.